That, yeah, that would be good to know. Welcome to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, excuse me, Subcommittee General Government. On today's agenda, June 8, 2017, we are going to be holding a public hearing on HB 3361A relating to open data standards. And in the here first up to testify today, we have the big co-chair of the Joint Ways and Means Committee. Come on down. Big co-chair, Nancy Nathanson. Thank you, co-chair Nathanson, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. I'm Nancy Nathanson, representative from House District 13. I have some prepared testimony that I would like to give. Senator Thatcher was hoping to be here also. She is also a sponsor on the bill. Senator Thatcher was called away and has prepared a letter that I don't know if it has made it to your desk yet. Information is a strategic asset of the state that must be managed and secured in a shared state resource capacity. State agencies possess great amounts of valuable information on all aspects of life for Oregonians: health, business, public safety, labor, transportation, parks and recreation. But the state has no standards for open data and has only a limited ability to even use the data strategically. The state currently operates with a system of reactive disclosures. Data is made available on a case-by-case basis at the individual discretion of state agencies. However, requests to see or use the data are sometimes denied without any compelling privacy, confidentiality, or safety or security reason. Even requests from other state agencies, in other words, agency-to-agency requests. So agencies, it appears, may be forced to do work that's already being done and losing, therefore, an opportunity for efficiency just because they can't use another agency's data. The way we currently operate reduces our ability to use data as a strategic asset. We lack common data standards, we don't have a single across-the-board data inventory, and we don't necessarily share data within state government when it's a legitimate public purpose. We can change this and encourage both the collection and dissemination of data, increase cross-agency analysis, and support data-driven decision-making. This bill is a continuation of our work on improving the business of government and doing things more efficiently and effectively. When we streamline and modernize processes, we speed up work in agencies, enabling better outcomes and reducing costs. In fact, there's another bill that had been proceeding just a couple weeks before this one through this process on sharing geospatial data. This bill has two key objectives. The first is to increase transparency, making more data available for public use. The second is to set the stage for increasing data sharing within and across state agencies to improve operations, service delivery, and decision making. The bill directs the state CIO to appoint a chief data officer to maintain a web portal for publication of data to serve as an inventory of publicly available state data. Senator Thatcher has been a key person involved in creating transparency website, and Senator Thatcher and I have discussed the opportunity. This bill does not require all of a sudden a new website or a new kind of approach. We can capitalize on resources that have already been prepared, investments that have already been made, and just do it better. The portal could be maintained, for example, as part of the state's transparency website to augment those efforts. The bill also requires the chief data officer to establish an open data standard requiring agencies to update publishable data. I want to note that publishable data doesn't include information that a state agency doesn't have to already provide under existing federal, state, or local law, materials subject to confidentiality agreements or other protections, employment records, or other information related to internal administration. Nevertheless, the sharing of data between state agencies serves important state purposes, like big data trend analyses, and the sharing of data with the public is important as well. A presumption of openness in which the data is considered a state resource, not a person-specific resource, or a resource for this desk only, or this agency only, and it's available for legitimate public purposes, this can help agencies identify strategies for business intelligence and other predictive analytic opportunities. Sharing data will enable the cross-agency analysis and metrics-based decision-making. There is one proposed amendment that has been submitted to OLIS. I hope you have the -A10. It simply adds to existing language in the bill that ensures public records are more readily available and that technology does not inadvertently limit the accessibility of public records. All in all, managing information as an asset will increase operational efficiencies, reduce costs, improve service delivery, support mission needs, safeguard potential information, and increase public access. Let's bring state agency record keeping and data into the 21st century. Let's help government work smart. This open data policy will make the state more transparent, promote public trust, and provide the foundation for insight and innovation. Thank you.
Thank you. Question, Senator Johnson.
Madam Co-Chair, I love your bill. What I don't know is, can you legislate to change human behavior? I have done enough constituent work over time. I ran a state agency for a little while that was steeped in data and heavily turfed up. And I don't know how you write legislation that changes the culture of these agencies that's first stop is no. I mean, right now we're looking at a bill that the governor is championing that has an adjudicatory process after a public records request has failed. I mean, even the nature of the bill presupposes that the request for data will fail. And this is an arbitrator. It costs two people and $750,000. So I don't know how you propose to change the culture of information is power, what's mine is mine, and the myriad of blockades that will be thrown up to protect what agencies perceive as their stuff.
Indeed, Mr. Chair and Senator Johnson, indeed, that is the stumbling block that I have seen happen. You describe it as turfed up, and sometimes individuals being possessive of their data. This bill will make it very clear it's the state's resource. It's an asset. It's not belonging to an individual agency or an individual person. There is a line in the bill that I'm looking for, and it'll take me a minute here, where we're asking, I'm going to call on someone to help me find that line.
Mr. Pettit is coming and taking his seat or not.
So it's not dated.
No, actually it's a section that I added personally myself because
it's the line that says, "Thou shalt not be a possessory dumbhead."
It paraphrases that. Legislative Council comes up with this other language with all these euphemisms. But yes, it means that.
Okay, cool.
We'll work on finding it. But I agree that has been a problem. So in addition to the open data standards and publishable data, as I recall, what was added to the bill and published in this version, it's requiring a report on
what's been produced
on agency sharing and very clearly describing it as a public asset.
Section 5, is it? Release of publishable data on a web portal?
Mm-hmm.
Section 5?
Well, almost. Let's see. It was where there's a report.
I'll look for it while you have
if
other
I may, Mr.
questions.
Chair, to just further amplify my point, I'm sure that you personally have done enough casework that when you call the Education Department or you call DHS or any OHA, any of the human services, the default answer is no, and citations of privacy. Getting any information out of the Department of Education is virtually impossible. And I just lament a good idea that is going to be thwarted because this bill will be undermined at every agency level. I swear you could assign this work to the baby Jesus and he couldn't get it done.
Mr. Chair and Senator Johnson, to add a little more to that, there is language in the bill.
917.
Adopt rules necessary to implement sections of the bill, including submit a biennial report to a committee or interim committee of the Legislative Assembly related to information management and technology on. I need this on the published version of the bill, not this version. Publish the report on the status of agency posting of publishable data and the status of data sharing within and between agencies, enabling cross-agency analysis, and so forth and so on. The point of my adding that, of requiring this report to the Legislative Assembly, is I want information from the Chief Information Officer on who's sharing data and who isn't.
Members of the committee, that is on page 3, line 17, it starts. Submit a biennial report.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. So you have identified the malfeasers, then we have the public flogging, or what do we do to correct intransigence? And I'll quit beating it to death. I just lament that we can't get to a good government place that I think you envision.
I would pray that, if I may, Senator Manning, I'm Alex Pettit, I'm the Chief Information Officer, thank you very much. Chair Manning, Senator Johnson, the game right now has been you ask for data and the agency tells you whether or not they have it. What we're trying to do is change that dynamic, and you have an excellent point, it is very difficult to change culture and behavior. But to change the dynamic to where it has to be reported what data is being collected to inform people what it is that they can ask for. It's been a game of go fish, if you're familiar with that. You ask me for something, I tell you I don't have it, go fish. And then you have to ask for something else. And if you don't ask for exactly the card that I have, I'm under no obligation to produce it. This in turn will basically force. The hope is it's going to say, "This is my hand."
Mr. Chair, Mr. Pettit, I would commend for your consideration talking to the counties to see how accessible MAP information is from the Department of Revenue to see just how steep the grade is of your impending journey.
An excellent observation, Senator Johnson. What we find what we have found with GIS data in particular is that it is monetized often by counties or by other groups, and that makes it a particularly onerous thing to do. Much of the data that the state has, however, is not monetized, and so it's really just a matter of making certain that we have an obligation to articulate what it is what information are we collecting, and then yes, it is a very difficult hill to climb. Yes, ma'am.
Representative Ehrman. Thanks. I have a bunch of questions and issues to bring up. So first of all, Dr. Pettit, I appreciate this. I know we've had some conversations about changing from the go fish culture to the everything that the state does is available and accessible online. Just put the hard drive of the state of Oregon on the internet, except what this little pieces that you have to take out for certain reasons. So this is certainly a step in the right direction, and I'm kind of excited about it. So for one question I have for either of you is the bill excludes images. Why would you exclude those?
Chair Manning, Chair Smith, Representative Nimmerman, thank you for the question. The reason is because in images, they're generally rasterized and we cannot redact. It's much more difficult. You can redact them, but you have to image them as a redacted image in the first place. I cannot go through and do an OCR scan for it to look for certain types of data. The data is much more difficult for me to manipulate, and so as a consequence, I end up having to then I'm at risk of doing something foolish and putting something out that I should not. So I'm sorry, rasterized, right? In other words, yeah, I apologize for the technical term. We take something that's we take a picture of something and we look at it as one picture. We don't decompose it to the elements. We are getting, you know, technology has improved enormously, but many of our documents are still in image form and have not been optical character read, OCR'd into something that I can look at it and say, is this a name? Is it a social security number? Is it a driver's license? Does it fit some standard that I know I need to redact it, and I'm not going to let that out? So what I'm saying is that a lot of my data isn't very smart yet. So things that are captured or viewed as a rasterized image, it's a full chunk image, I'm not going to be as comfortable with that. And I hope that answers your question, sir.
Yeah, it does, but it's the wrong answer to the question. And I'm tempted to turn you into Senator Johnson here, but because your default answer is no, you can't have the data. So I'll give you an example of rasterized images. So OLIS, every single piece of meeting material on OLIS is rasterized. They're all PDF documents there, and none of them are redacted. None of them need to be redacted. They're all public documents, and I have them all. I download them all. And there's no reason to say no to that. So why would you put no in as the answer? Why don't you say, I got a couple issues here. One is, like you said, there's a security issue or a PI, personal identifiable informational issue. You don't want to give someone's driver's license out or whatever. But say the default answer is yes, but I might have to say no in bulk from time to time because I don't have the resources or I just don't have the knowledge to know or the technology to know which ones I can't give. But like, I will give you all the oldest documents because those are public material anyway. Or I have maps from Fish and Wildlife, and there's no reason to have those have to be redacted or whatever. And I kind of know that in advance. And so maybe there's a better way to do that rather than say not do images to...
Co-Chair Manning, Co-Chair Smith, Representative Nearman, thank you for the question. I guess where I'm going to err is on the side of being conservative. You're confused at a higher level than I am because I don't know all the data yet that's available, and that's part of our problem is for us to categorically say that information from DEQ is all public domain, whereas information from ODFW is not public, or the Department of State or the Oregon State Police or whomever. This is a brave new world for us. Mm-hmm. And whereas up to this point we've been the custodians of the data, we've actually not had, and we've not been able to have that sort of insight into it. So I'm starting at a very low level of intelligence, which is not unusual. I understand that. And we're working. But as we go forward, my desire, as your desire is to make as much information available as we can without doing harm. I'm afraid of I'm trying to do no harm. Yeah. That's really where we're coming from with this. Mm-hmm. Where did the representative
come from? Follow up?
I do. I actually have a new line of questioning, so I'll defer to the senator.
Wait, mine's new too, so play through.
You talk here about like an open data standard, and one thing the legislature did this last year was to convert all of its data to data on like the stuff that's behind the OLIS stuff to OData kind of thing with an API. Is that what you're looking at? Those kinds of things? It wouldn't have to initially be OData, but some sort of API.
Is it? Chair Manning, Chair Smith, Representative Nearman, thank you for the question. The direct answer is in some form, yes. Yeah. I want to be able to make data so it can be downloaded. In the default, in my previous life, we did it as all comma delimited files. Now, I know that's a primitive way of doing it, but the reason we did is we knew that anyone could grab the thing that way. am I, you know, I'm the representative's bill is to give us the flexibility to where it's not dictating the type of standard. That was an error that was made with other data instruments, other data acts that have been carried forward. This is not prescriptive in how, because technology does change, and there are better ways, as you're aware, to use the information, so or to get the information. So this gives that flexibility.
Good, thank you,
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, with your permission, it seems like most of the questions, or maybe all of the remaining questions, are going to be fairly technical and could be answered by staff. So, with your permission, since there's another meeting I need to be at, could I defer responses to my lifeline here?
You could, Senator Johnson.
For the technical questions.
As you walk out, mine is a non-technical, and for you guys that have been speaking computer, I'm going to ask you a plain English question. Trying to figure out that intersection between public records and open data. I made a public records request this session of the governor's office and a couple of agencies, and I was functionally blown off. And so I'm trying to figure out what could be described in an environment that does not want to get to yes when they start throwing the shield of public records over it. I don't expect an answer. I just lift it up as a concern. You're going for openness and transparency, as Representative Nierman is, and you redact only those most sensitive things. I think the culture here is exactly flipped around. You grind it out of me, and I'll withhold as long as I can, and I'll give you the morsels that I think you deserve. Now get out of here. And those two cultures are going to collide at some point, and it could be problematic.
Oh, well, we're joined by the other half of the big co-chairs.
We're not voting. Richard, you can go.
I might be summoned.
How much longer do you think this hearing might go?
Take her.
Yeah, she's just going to leave then.
It's a kidnapping.
Thank you, Representative Nathanson. Thank you so much. And we'll continue. I think it was Representative Marsh, you had a question.
Thank you, co-chair. So, do you know of any other states that have done this successfully, vitally, have a similar kind of website? I'm looking at, I just pulled up California's Open Data Portal, and I have no idea when it was created. So there's multiple questions here. The first question for you is, do you know of states that have done this successfully?
Chair Manning, Chair Smith, Representative Marsh, it depends upon your definition of success. We've had a lot of success in a lot of places. Washington is one place. California is another place. Oklahoma's done this with putting a lot of data, again, in comma delimited format, which is a very technical, very ugly way of putting it. But you'll see a lot of applications that have been written against it, against those data sets or those data feeds, that then people have been able to make information available to folks for their own consumption. Anything from bus times when things are going, you know, municipalities have done this, counties have done this. This is not an original idea. So it is going to, and our hope is that it will spur more use of data by the public, for the public. Our goal is not necessarily to spoon feed data. This is a technical answer. I apologize. We're trying to move from a pull environment. In other words, you want something, you ask for it, you pull the data out of me, as Senator Johnson had indicated, and you pull it from me with perhaps great resistance. We're now trying to change that model to where it's a push model, to where data is available to you that you're interested in, and you can have access to it and do whatever you want with it without having a middleman broker as your information expert standing between you and the information you want or that you're trying to get at. That's really the paradigm shift we're trying to achieve, that the representative is trying to achieve with this bill. And that is a change in direction. So there may be tools and things that are stood up on the transparency website and other places for that consumption, but the desire is making the raw data available such that that people can choose how they wish to consume it without the filter of somebody else getting between them and the information.
Follow up.
Thank you. I guess I need to put out there that I'm highly skeptical of the resources that are asked for here to achieve this. We're talking about one person to coordinate the effort is what I understand. You know, when I look at California's, it's very clear that they got this up, a dozen agencies dumped a few data sets on here. It's like a website or anything else in our lives to maintain, to update data sets, to remember to be able to manage the whole world within an agency, and now to interact and make sure that it's on the open data. I really wonder how big of a task we are creating within the departments that are going to be asked to participate on this, as well as on the overall management of the data.
Co-Chair Manning, Co-Chair Swift, Representative Marsh, thank you for the question. I think what you'll find, as we do with many initiatives, is we start with our coalitions of the willing. So those that have information are willing to share it, are more supportive of this, they will participate at a greater rate or a greater degree than others that do not, and then we will have to review progress and report back to you as we go. So the direct answer is, I'm not trying to contradict you. I simply say that we're trying to start somewhere and get this going forward. And so it may be an overly modest ask, but we think that it will show, our prayer is it will show progress.
Okay. I'll just chip in on that thing. Is the transparency website was put up with no resources. That was something that was just done from the floor sweepings at DAS. So it is possible. This is kind of hopefully kind of an appendage to the transparency website.
Mr. Co-Chair, in listening to all exchanges, we know that there are a number of agencies that are really challenged with upgrading their computer programming and stuff. And I'm not familiar whether or not, in order to hold people or agencies accountable, if all of them have in their KPMs something that can be measurable, those will be indicators whether or not they are in compliance or not. So perhaps it might be something to look into on that part of, we're talking about transparency, but we also want to be making sure that everybody is accountable, which will make your job a little bit easier, because each year they will have to report back, or as often as possible, report back to the legislator as to what they're doing and whether or not they are performing these KPMs to standards, and if not, why. So I think that maybe that's something that we need to carry forward in another discussion. Any other questions for Dr. Pettis? Thank you, sir. We have one other person who wants to submit testimony. Mr. Sewell.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Steve Sewell. I'm an editor at The Oregonian, and I'm a member of the Society of Professional Journalists. And I want to thank your indulgence for, I apologize that I did not appear on the initial witness list. I'm not someone who testifies every day, more accustomed to watching. I'm speaking on behalf of SPJ today, and I'll be pretty brief. I wanted to speak to the Dash 10 amendment that Representative Nathanson has discussed earlier. But first, I want to thank Representative Nathanson and for introducing this bill, and the CIO's office for the work that they've done on it. We in the journalism community very much share Senator Johnson's pain, and yet we still feel that this bill is a step in the right direction and accomplishes some real progress. Specifically to the Dash 10 amendment, SBJ endorses the fundamental notion that government data systems should have as a basic feature the ability to retrieve and deliver public records, specifically electronic data, in response to public records requests. And that's simply not always the case. And to the extent that that Representative Nathanson's amendment, the Dash 10 amendments, a Dash 10 amendments, address that and institutionalize that as a matter of public policy, we're very happy to support that. I'd be happy to answer any questions, but thank you for hearing me.
Any questions, Mr. Sewell? No questions. Sir, thank you very much.
Thank you.
LFO, anything that we need to add before we adjourn for the evening?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I would just note that the fiscal impact for the bill is approximately $262,000 of other funds and that would be paid through State Chief Information Office assessments in the 17-19 biennium. That pays for a position to start partway through the biennium and 1 year of cost for setting up the new portal, and then that increased to $460,000 in 1921 as the program gets fully implemented.
Okay, we are not holding a work session on this. This is only a public hearing at this time. So next week, highlights or expectations, we're going to be meeting. I know things are kind of developing as we go along. So since there's no other information that we need and everybody's happy, it is a happy Thursday. We've got a lot of good work ahead of us and everybody's smiling. So I'm going to adjourn the meeting for the day. And hopefully, I don't know if we're going to be meeting on Monday. Got anything?
I don't think so.
Nothing on the calendar. So we will see you when we see you. We are adjourned. See you. We are adjourned.